This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? I've never used that phrase, but I instantly know what it means. And I think it's interesting because it works two different ways. Some people need to have their social battery charged, and they this is the introvert extrovert thing. And some people, you know, like they've got enough energy for other people, but then it's time to sort of step away. And, you know, as we get to this part where winter is ending, which again, it's opposite. I love winter. I don't need it to end. You know, you start getting together with more people and it can be a little draining on top of every other thing that we all have going on in our lives. I just assume everybody's overburdened because I think everybody's overburdened, but it can be tough to deal with. And also one of the things is like, you can't necessarily understand why you feel that way or why it's making you tired, but it's a real thing. If you think that you could use some help with it, if you could figure out a way to make things better, therapy is a great way to help. It can give you that kind of self-awareness to know how to ride that level just right so that you feel good, you feel right. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you can give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online. It is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule, which is, again, we've been talking about being busy, right? You got to fit that in. You got a lunch period. You can do it during that time, whichever. That's possible. You fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. I like that. There is no penalty for finding the person who is right for you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/iFanboy today. Get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/iFanboy.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
This is the iFanboy Pick of the Week podcast, episode 488, brought to you by Geek Nation Tours and iFanboy listeners like you. Welcome to the iFanboy Pick of the Week podcast. This is episode 488. I am Josh Flanagan. Thank God, my co-host Connor Kilpatrick. Welcome back.
Oh, do I talk? I wasn't. I figured I didn't need to talk anymore.
What are the thing that people don't know about the episode last week is that I literally had to go back in and edit out about 15 minutes of yawning because I was exhausted. And I just kept talking, and I realized like I haven't rested, and all of a sudden I need to yawn. I don't have enough air. So there's a little trade secret for you. We are iFanboy. We like comic books. Every week we read a bunch of our comics, or a stack of them is what this says. And one of us picks their favorite book, and we call that the pick of the week. We'll talk about that books, other stuff. Try to read some listener mail, and it should be fun. Your spoiler warning is that this is a review show. Use your head. Come on. We're going to talk about what happens in the books. Get out of here. Connie, you got the pick.
I was really just hoping to never have to do this again.
Wow. Welcome back.
I saw how excited you were, and I was like, you know what? So I'll just sit back, collect my giant iFanboy weekly check that we get, and
royalties.
A royalty check. But this week, I had actually a lot of good books.
Yeah.
I had three or four books that I read and finished going, oh, that could very easily be the pick. And the pick of the week ended up being a book I read at very last. And so up until that point, I had a different book in my head, and then I read Air Boy number one from Image Comics, James Robinson, Greg Hinkle, and I didn't see how I couldn't. First of all, I didn't want to cause James Robinson to go on any kind of bender by not picking it.
Did
I felt kind of guilty.
What level of anticipation did you have for this book?
I knew about it. I knew what it was about. I knew it was a book about James Robinson and Greg Hinkle trying to do an Air Boy comic. I knew that there was some sort of meta, you know, Airboy shows up in the book two kind of situation. And I was looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of those announcements that came out last time where I was like, oh, that's interesting. I will definitely keep my eye out for that. So I was looking forward to it.
Yeah.
So just as I said, this book is about James Robinson, who is... it's crazy. It's crazy. It's obviously a heightened reality. That is not what Eric Stevenson's office looks like in Image Comics.
I love the scooter.
And the view of the bay and the really multi-level because there's stairs. So in the, you know, it opens up with Eric Stevenson and James Robinson on the phone. Eric Stevenson wants James Robinson to do an Airboy comic, and James Robinson does not know how to do that. And this is his drug and alcohol-fueled existential crisis journey through trying to figure out how to do an Airboy comic. And it reminded me a lot of The Escapists that we loved, that comic from way back, the Dark Horse book about kids trying to do an escapist comic. And It's crazy. There's a crazy sex scene that where Greg Henkel and James Robinson take a girl home from the bar. There's a lot of James Robinson, Greg Henkel in this book, physically. And it was... It's one of those...
the artist was quite kind to himself.
It's nutty. I mean, it's like, it was super enjoyable, but it
was
super nutty.
That's what it was. Like, on the surface, if you were like, if you were to tell me that they wrote a book, it's basically about themselves, and it's like they do a bunch of drugs and get into stuff, I'd be like, that's kind of boring. But it was such a combination of it being really over the top, but also at the same time, super honest.
Well, they reference Hunter S. Thompson, which it feels sort of like that heightened drug-fueled ride. But also, as you said, you know, James Robinson's pretty open in this about his fears, the parts of his personality that aren't so great, his doubts, his reveling in I'm a terrible writer, I'll never write anything good again, and his spiraling, not paying attention to anybody around him, including his then wife, Jan, who is no longer his wife now, is in the book, and not treating her all that well, and then every time Greg Henkel tries to talk to him about anything in his own life, James Robinson just steamrolls over that, talk about himself more. I mean, he's very open about what he sees as his own faults.
Yeah, and he's quite cutting, and that stuff feels super raw.
Yeah. It was uncomfortable to read at times.
Yeah, no, and we've met him. I've seen him write on the internet.
I spent a long weekend with him at Darwin Cook's wedding.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen him in action.
And so what we're saying here is that, you know, he laid a lot of stuff out here at the same time with doing this other sort of comedic over-the-top romp. And the combination of those two things, this is like my favorite thing that he's done in a really long time.
Yeah. This is the James Robinson who lit the world on fire in the 90s.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Just saying that makes me worry for him, by the way.
Well, the benefit of doing it comedically is that it doesn't get too heavy-handed and or too depressing.
No, true. And I think that we're giving Greg Henkel sort of short shrift here. He was perfect.
Yes.
I mean, it was spot on, like the exact right tone.
It's cartooning. It's not like super realistic, although Robinson looks like Robinson.
Yes, he does.
I assume that's what Henkel looks like, and Stevenson looks exactly like Stevenson. But
they're cartoons.
They're exaggerated versions of them, and the coloring is all very sort of green and red and purple. Yeah. It's not realistically colored. It's all very heightened, and which allows you to have these really dark moments but not feel too oppressive about it.
Well, it feels a bit like the kind of cartooning that I've been talking about when we were talking about minimum wage. Like, it's that kind of, there's just shit everywhere. And that, like, everything
Everybody's
is packed.
Everybody's apartment is just messy with garbage.
Yeah,
and
it's just all there.
Except for Stevenson's office.
But the cartooning of the figures is spectacular. Well, I mean, just the drawing itself is wonderful. I don't think I know this artist, but I was like, this is perfect for what it is. And I don't know how many issues this is, but
I can't stop looking at Greg Henkel's penis. It's giant.
I love that. Like, at first he started out as, wait, we're gonna do what? And then by the end he was totally into it.
Was he? Look at his face.
But he went with it. He went and he got some heroin.
Well, he didn't know it was heroin. I thought it was cocaine.
Okay. Oh, I see. It was such a pleasure. But also in that it was so uncomfortable and raw at the same time. I just, like, it's hard to, you just kind of have to experience it, but it was super brave.
Well, what's going to be really interesting now is to see where this goes, because the first issue is pretty straightforward. Okay, how the hell are we going to do this comic? Let's drink a lot, take a lot of drugs, and work our way through San Francisco and try to figure it out. And then it ends with, so they're at this woman's apartment who they just had sex with the night before. They're trying to get out of there. They're going to do some cocaine before they leave. Turns out it's heroin. And then they have some more of James's Coke, so it's fine. It should be noted that James Robinson has gone sober in the intervening years. And but then Airboy shows up in her apartment and says, this behavior will not stand. And he is colored, you know, in the bright primary colors of a comic book character.
He's, when you just said he is colored, I felt uncomfortable.
He's colored in the reds and the yellows and the blues.
He's not a monotone.
So he stands out in this monotone world. And then the cover for the next issue, which is a little back matter explaining how it was put together, which I liked a lot, shows them all at a packed bar with Airboy, who has a drink. So it's going to be really interesting to see how this works. I loved it. This was one of the best things I've read in a while.
That's great. It's good to hear. I love it when we're on the same page about a thing. Because I read it. I think I had actually – I'd heard about it a while ago. And so when I actually read the preview, which I don't usually do. I was like, oh. And then I don't think the preview was in this. Like the preview that was in the, running in the back of some book last week was not – in featured, those pages were not in this.
That was interesting because I didn't read those books yet, so that's why I didn't see the preview.
And then I read it really early, like I was excited, and I was just like, that was, and I made sure to like write to you, like you have to read this thing. And
well, it's interesting because you know James Robinson, as we said before, lit the world on fire in the '90s. He sort of exploded on the scene with Starman and other things, and he's taken a beating in the last 10 years for a lot of his work. He's done some good stuff in the last 10 years.
We've
certainly talked about it.
Yeah,
but he's also taken a big beating, especially for his DC work, and that's mentioned a lot of times in this issue.
How's it going at DC? Horrible.
And I feel like this was him just opening the vein and being like, all right, I'm not going to try to do this other stuff anymore. I'm just going to go back to just really personal stories. And and you're like, shit, man, where's this guy been? And there's a reason why he's so beloved.
You know, I've liked a lot of what he's done. I haven't liked some of what he's... Nothing that I read it and I was like, that was awful. It's not bad.
Yeah.
Like, some of it didn't connect, but some of it totally did. Like, you know, and I don't even mean, you know, when he went back to do The Shade or something like that. That
the
was
good.
It was really good, but, I mean, there's been a lot of fun stuff. I stuck all the way through Invaders, you know, and I've read... You read all of Fantastic Four. Like, you know, it's...
It's been some good stuff.
Definitely.
But nothing like this where you're just like, whoa.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
This is a book everyone should check out.
Definitely.
Airboy number one.
Easy pick of the week.
Yeah. Once I read it, I was like, okay, well, I guess that's it.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, the number of creator cocks per capita was higher than any other book. So
yeah.
by that scale, the per capita cock scale wins pick of the week.
You made me snort.
So
I tend to not do that on mic.
One of the other options was Action Comics 41.
Right?
This was the... first issue since Convergence, Greg Pak, Aaron Cooter. And it was a little confusing because this takes place after an issue of Superman that hasn't come out yet. So I guess in that issue...
Is that what it was?
Yeah. In that issue...
I did not bother going to find it. I was like, well...
Well, I thought maybe I missed it. So I went and dug around the app and it wasn't in the app. And I looked... I Googled it and it hadn't come out yet as far as I can tell. And I saw a tweet today from Gene Yuen Lang saying his run begins later this month. So that's the first issue of his run.
But, I mean, one of the strengths of it was...
You got enough information that you didn't need it.
Didn't need it.
It was just confusing at first. I was like, what?
Yeah, I got that too. But I'm so used to, like, I'm not reading the other thing. Darwin, all variant cover. Yeah, I totally... But it was like one of those things they throw you in the story and you figure out what's going on pretty quick. I was like, oh, he has Golden Age powers. Awesome.
So Superman... You know, we talked about this before. His new powers, he can blow up his energy. And when he does that, he comes back with no powers for a while, and they slowly come back. So in this issue, he's not totally powerless. He's like a little strong, but not really strong, and he can leap. This sort of brought me back to what I thought we'd get out of Superman in the original New 52 relaunch. After that first issue with Morrison, where he couldn't fly.
Sure.
And he was just a little stronger. And he was kind of angry, and he wore the t-shirt and jeans. And this is... him in a t-shirt and jeans, and he ends up buying a Superman shirt from a store and sort of going across. And I know people are complaining that it's very similar to JMS's story in which he's walking the Earth, but this is not him on a journey. He's just trying to get home, and he can't fly home, so he's got to walk until he buys a motorcycle, and then he gets in trouble and finally makes his way back home. But this was fantastic. Not just no small part because the Aaron Cooter art was just wonderful again.
Well, not only like he came on to begin, and I was like, oh, this is really cool because it's very different than that quote unquote house style that sort of had been going on over at DC, and he's gotten better and better. Like I like this is a different Superman. Like, he's got a different haircut. He's got...
He looks younger. He feels younger.
And you're watching him walk around in the world, I guess. So it has, like, a different feel. Like, he's down there with the folk.
Yeah.
Which is... I don't know. It was super compelling, and I got done with it, and I was like, I'm really... Because I'm always halfway on the fence with the Superman book.
Yeah.
Like, if it's not good, it's kind of always...
there's no denying. I mean, this particular run with Pal Concluder has been absolutely really good.
But I kind of forgotten about it, because I was like, oh, yeah, DC books are back this week. So I had to sort of get back into those, and I was like, all right, now I'm reading this. And I'm so glad that I didn't sort of skip over it.
So the story that hasn't happened yet is that Lois... reveals his identity, so everybody knows Clark Kent is Superman. He's on the news. He goes back to when he finally makes it back to Metropolis. So this is his journey's over for the people who are complaining. He's back at home. You know, there's a lot of mixed feelings. People in his neighborhood like him because they've got a celebrity living in their neighborhood. But then some people are kind of skeptical because, you know, where Superman is, trouble follows, and they don't want their neighborhood wrecked. And the fire department girl is friendly, but also, you know, at the end is sort of pointed that, you know, a lot of people are scared in the neighborhood. It's your fault. So there's a lot of texture going on here, which I like. And clearly the military is coming for him because that's what they do.
They do.
I like the sequence at the end where he has to... there's that monster and he's got to jump on multiple things to get high enough to fight him.
Yeah, I like that. Like, it's fun because there's precedent for it.
Mm-hmm.
In that, like, that's what Golden Age Superman was sort of like, and they kept making him more and more and more powerful. So then you sort of revisit that kind of thing. And they've made... you know, like you said, Grant Morrison sort of...
I just wish we had more of that back then. That's what I really liked about Grant Morrison's
first issue. That was the thing. I think we got like one arc, and then it jumped around all over the place.
And it was like 5 years later, and he was in a costume. And
well, he was in a costume.
It was an A costume.
He was in a costume.
So the other option, well, another option for Pick of the Week was Secret Wars number 3, and I just love this entire thing.
Isn't it strange how unlike issues 2 and 3 are to issue 1?
Yes.
And because this was basically just a continuation of the last issue, which we really both liked.
Yes.
And I was totally down with that. And I really like that, like, Stephen Strange is still Stephen Strange.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And
he remembers.
And, yeah. And I think
like
that's
great.
He's
like the North. The North remembers, and so does Stephen Strange.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a couple of things here I wanted to highlight. One, there's a really great panel of Esad Ribic's surprised face, in which everyone in the panel has surprised face. I think it's towards the end. I can't find it. Oh, it's right here. It's when Strange reveals that Dr. Doom is the god of the planet, and you see Lady Thor and Reed Richards and Captain Marvel, and you assume Spider-Man and Black Panther have the same face, too.
Yeah.
But I also really liked...
Is that 70s movie Spider-Man?
Kind of is.
Mirrored lenses.
70s TV show, yeah.
Yeah. TV movie.
In this issue... Yeah, TV movie. In this issue, it was a pilot. In this issue... No, it was a series. For one season.
Was it?
Yeah. In this issue, they discover a ship. In the last issue, the ship was discovered with the people from the Ultimate Universe plus Thanos. And in this issue, we find another ship in which we've got some people from the Marvel Universe, Spider-Man, Captain Marvel, Reed Richards, Black Panther, Lady Thor, and some other people. So now you've got a whole bunch of people in this Game of Thrones world who remember the old times. And so that's going to be troublesome, including Reed Richards, obviously, which is going to be the biggest trouble of them all. But I also really liked the scene, this is probably what would have made a pick of the week, between Sue and Doom, in which Doom takes off his mask, or Sue takes his mask off of him, and his face is just all wrecked. Because when I was a kid, it was always the big mystery, what did Doom look like? And they never showed you what Doom looked like.
Did they never?
When I was a kid, they didn't show him. And then when they finally did, he just had like a little scar on his face, and that was kind of the irony of it, right? It was like, he wasn't ugly, he just had a scar, but to him, that was bad enough, he had to cover his face. But here, he's just like, he's got no nose, his teeth are all messed up. And I thought that was a really compelling scene because he is really ugly here. So I think you can go two ways with Doom. One, there's the irony of just the little imperfection is enough to make him hide. And this one is just, he is really ugly on the outside.
Yeah.
And that was, I thought, a really great scene. And a really compelling drawing. I was like, oh, it sort of stuck with me for a while. Mm. But
yeah. I mean, there's literally very little left to say about Esad Ribic. In this case, I mean, he must have started this a year ago.
I like that Johnny Storm is the sun and he revolves around the earth.
Yeah.
At one point, one of the people from the Ultimate World is like, I'm pretty sure the sun is revolving around the earth here.
I like that a lot. Yeah.
There's a lot of great little touches in this that I just love.
I just like, I love Thanos's posture. Like at the end, he's just like, you know, we're cool. It's fine. Like they're on spring break.
Yeah.
And he's not worried about anything.
Well, he's the star of
Why is Namor movie. With them?
He was part of the Illuminati. I don't know. I mean, we didn't read those comics where these people right. came together.
That is not the comic's fault. I'm just, before I get the letters.
Well, this is mostly the Illuminati, so you've got part of it in the one ship and part of it in the other ship.
Mm-hmm.
But I just love this
war. Namor is with the bad guys.
Well, he's sometimes bad. He flooded all of Manhattan with that tidal wave in the 60s.
Yeah, but...
Never forget, Josh.
What's funny is that we forget that with him, but Hank Pym just can't catch a break. It's not funny.
There's a trust there. There's a broken trust.
I guess so.
Oh, there's also Star-Lord because, you know...
I know why.
The movie made $1 billion. No, $775 million, sorry.
And he's the Star-Lord from the movie.
Yeah, oh, totally.
In Lego Marvel, we got Star-Lord, and he's like the comic book one, and I don't recognize him. What the hell's that?
So, he's not charming or handsome.
There's nobody who's going to be, like, pissed off that the old Star-Lord's gone. And if you are, you're a troglodyte. let's be honest. I think there was, like, 3 Star-Lord fans prior to... I guess if you're Abnett or Lanning, then you can be.
You'd be like, oh, I like the other one.
I looked at Big Man Plans, and I decided, since I hadn't read any of it, I would just wait for the collections, and I think it's only 4 issues. So I didn't read number 3.
All right. That being the case, I was actually curious if you had read it, because you were away the week.
I thought about it, and I saw it said 3 or 4, and I was like, well, I'll just wait.
Just read them. They're super fast. You've got the issues. This is the most hardcore, grim comic book, and it huddles on the edge, or not huddles, not the word, straddles the sort of line of, is this okay? It's, I mean, like, the character is so mean and broken, and like it's the most violent comic book I've read in such a long time, and it is like dark, 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 dark humor, because it is definitely being done for jokes, but like like there's a scene where basically he goes back and he gets revenge on everybody who taunted him taunted actually is a very light way of putting it. They tortured him basically,
bully,
you know,
bully as tortured.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but he's a dwarf, and so he goes back to get one of these guys, and his mother is in the hospital with a stroke, stuck in a bed, and she can't talk, and she has the kid, he has the woman's son in front of him, and he pulls out a piece of pair of pliers like he's going to pull off his teeth, but he actually just rips off sort of the top part of his jaw.
Oh.
Yeah, and like this all happens. There's a big crack, you know.
You're going to make me want to read this book.
It's so grim, but like it's super hardcore. And it is funny. Although barely. Like, it's right on the edge. Like, if it was torture porn, it would be one thing.
Right.
It's played very seriously. I don't... It's a very...
It's like Tarantino, where the violence is funny.
It's close. But yeah, it's probably a lot like...
funny?
Yep, it's a lot like...
Is it like...
Django Unchained.
Django Unchained,
I think it's close to that. Like, it's very... Because that violence a lot of time is also very...
It's hard
very,
to watch sometimes.
Right. It's very weighty, but it was also like... Well, they had it coming. They were assholes.
Right.
That's kind of what's happening.
We all had it coming, Josh.
I know we all had it coming. I just wanted to go ahead and check in on that one again. I
had it in my hand. I thought about it. But.
I understand. I don't know that I would want to read it all at one time. Because it's...
If I call you crying, it's because I finished reading the collection. And
that first one is fun. The Tiny Death. They like the Vietnamese think that he is death personified. Like literally the angel of death.
I can see that.
Because he's quite grim. But it was, if you liked that first one and you dropped off, you shouldn't have, because it's still good. I fell behind on Star Wars. I know you're not reading these.
Right.
I'm not. So I read Star Wars 5 and 6 this week. Mm-hmm. And Darth Vader, which actually has a scene in common with Star Wars.
Is it
actually
still Cassidy? A scene.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So there's actually like several pages of a scene that matches the one that's in the Darth Vader book. Same dialogue, slightly different camera angle and artist. It was weird. It was a weird choice
to make,
I thought.
Which scene was it?
The Vader when he's standing at the window and you know he finds out.
Oh yeah, and he makes the window crack, which seems very unsafe in this instance.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he's got a suit. He's fine. He just locks it. He locks down the boots and he's good to go. So you are. I assume you're not going to be upset one way or another about the spoiler.
Fine. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, no, it's fine.
Oh, it's fine. It's fine.
There's the thing: is that basically this issue is a fight in Ben Kenobi's. It's two things that happens. A fight in Ben Kenobi's hut between Luke Skywalker and Boba Fett.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that that should happen. But that's the thing about this book. Like, they have to do things, and I totally understand that. And it's between the movies, so it skews it. But whatever. I've decided that I don't like the word canon, and I'm going to kind of start – like, only in terms of if I'm reading a story, I'm like, well, what happened before this that I need to know about that is really part of the story? Besides that, I don't care. Right. Canon's one of those things that I'm sick of.
Right.
So I'm going to try not to let that get to me. Anyway, and then Leia and Han land on this sort of hidden planet inside a nebula, which is kind of cool. And the one thing about this book – I'm going to get to the thing. The one thing about this book is I want to say a nice thing is that Jason Aaron really, really does have the voices down.
Yeah.
He's very good at writing these three main characters and making them sound like themselves almost too much. It's almost like an impersonation that's like a Daryl Hammond impersonation, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. You're like, that's so – it doesn't bring much else to it other than what already was there, I guess. But he's definitely telling different stories and stuff like that. He can do that. So a plane lands and an angry lady pops out, and her name is Santa Solo, and she is Han Solo's wife.
Oh, God.
And that is
– oh, God.
That is not the last page of the book, but it is the last page of that story. So I believe that we are experiencing – something that seems like it's going to be a big deal, but will not be.
Could be. Could be.
Because you can't. Like, it's too big. But at the same time, I kind of applaud the chutzpah. Like, he's like, we're telling this story. Can we tell a real story? Otherwise, we're just running in circles in between these movies. And we can't make anything happen. Classic superhero comic book stuff, really. So, I don't know. Like, if you just think of it like, okay, let's watch what this thing that happens if you were to introduce this person to the room with these other two people, does that work or not?
I don't know. This week I read Darth Vader and I read Princess Leia, and
I stopped reading Princess Leia.
I don't
want that.
I just don't. I'm a very hard time with these books. Going back to your canon thing, I think if they weren't canon, if they were just stories like the Dark Horse ones, it'd be fine. Like, I don't care that like about the EU stuff. But since they're so tied into what Disney's doing with the movies, and they're making such a big deal of saying this is all tied into the movie stuff, it just sort of bugs me.
Well, I'm saying back off of it. I mean, if you think Jason Aaron, this is the same guy who did that story where it was like, wow, Thor's mom is probably this lady Thor.
Yeah.
And then he was like, Thor's girlfriend is probably this lady Thor, and you know that wasn't the case. But I'm just saying, like, it may not be what it seems.
Well, we'll see. I'm struggling.
Maybe
with
she's
these.
A rogue droid who has a programming error.
Could be. Well, the thing that I was okay about Darth Vader was they went off in a corner by themselves for a while, but then they came back, you know, full force this time. I was like, I don't want to read these stories.
Here's the thing about Kieran's book is that there's a lot of prequel in it.
Yeah, which I don't like that either.
Because that's his backstory, and I understand
actually,
why.
Actually, as soon as I saw the flashback to the stuff from the prequels, I was like, I'm out.
And it was like bad stuff from episode
two.
Yeah,
it was bad stuff. And then the famous no scream scene. I was just like, oh, I'm out. I can't do this. So I might be out.
I wonder if they'll cut to the – at some point, I want them to do the death of Shmi Skywalker, which I consider to be the ultimate low point for the whole thing, which is when she looks at him and she says, I love –
see, I've so blocked all of that out. I couldn't have told you how she died.
It's just that Lindsay saw it one time in the theater with me, which was the second time I saw it, and we have been laughing about that joke for however many years it's been. Over 10 years. I don't remember much about the movie, but I remember that.
I just can't. I can't. I think I might be out for all the books.
That's fair. And I think we are not the guys for them.
That's fine. I just want the movies. I don't need anything else.
I think we're Star Wars classicists.
Totally.
I think
I'm 100%. 100%.
Yeah, and you and I especially, and I think Ron falls into this too, former host of this show, is that we're all retreating back to just the original three movies.
Yes. I don't need anything
and
else.
And just shrinking the whole world down to that. Like, I've forgotten most of what happened in the Thrawn books and the other stuff, and those were fine at the time, but I don't need to refer to them. It's not a thing.
Yeah.
Maybe the Tales stories. I like those a lot.
Look, those are all good books. They were fun, but
Yeah.
I don't need the world to get bigger, and I realize it's going to get really big for the course of our lifetime, but for now, I'm just happy with the three movies, and I'm excited for the next movie, and I'll watch that. And But we'll see how it goes. If I don't like that, you know, I don't need to continue consuming all the Star Wars things. I have the movies.
You're not invested.
What do you mean?
Are you invested in the new movie?
Yeah, I'm excited for it. I really am. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. We talked about this.
I know, but are you invested?
Yeah.
Like, would you be disappointed?
Yeah, I would be. Because it's got the original cast in it. If it was just a new movie taking place in the world and it was in the future and it was their kids or whatever, I'd be able to disassociate myself. But, you know, Harrison Ford's there with Chewie. I can't not be invested.
I'm definitely keeping myself a little at arm's length.
Yeah, I can't not. I just can't. I mean, we've already talked about going to midnight. I don't do that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. But in the meantime, that was a downer.
It was a good just check. It was a status check.
Well, it's funny because all of the talk about what you know the big thing that happened this issue, I couldn't not think about it. I couldn't figure out what it could be that would make everybody freak out. But that's dumb. Hopefully.
Yeah, I was a little like, okay. But at the same time, like, they got to do a book.
Yeah, but they don't have to make fundamental character changes. They can do a book without doing that.
If those are their main characters, they have to do something. They have to do, like, I can understand from the point of view, just like, well, we have to do something in this book. We can't just run in circles or what's the point? Man,
that's what every superhero comic does, which is basically what these are.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to make fundamental changes like that. They did it for years in the other books.
Yeah.
In the meantime, if you're looking for the perfect geek-themed vacation, look no further than Geek Nation Tours. Geek Nation Tours is proud to announce their return in New York City this fall. When you attend the New York Comic Con and explore the city, that's the home to the Avengers, Daredevil, Spider-Man, and many more iconic comic book-themed locations over the 7-day tour. It's a big tour, Josh.
Big tour.
They're even going to have Jan, Silent Bob, Secret Stash, comic store as a destination, and the fictional address of the Fantastic Four. Geek Nation Tours handles all the travel, the hotel, and the tickets to the con. All you need to do is have a good time. But comics isn't all they do. Geek Nation Tours offers other great tour packages like the Journey to Middle-Earth tour where you head to New Zealand to the world of Lord of the Rings, the Zombie Apocalypse Training 101, which is perfect for your Halloween or Walking Dead fan as you travel to Atlanta to see the filming site and get hands-on survivalist training and more. Then there's the Galaxy Far Away tour, which is appropriate for our discussion. You may have missed Star Wars Celebration this year, which was in Anaheim, lovely and scenic Anaheim, California. But now it's time to start planning for next year's celebration.
Neither of those things.
Now is the time to start planning for next year's celebration, but with the Galaxy Far Away tour, which we believe is in London next year, but we cannot confirm.
I guess I could look that up.
All these and many more tours are found at geeknationtours.com, where you can book your geek tour today. And I have a friend who has been in New Zealand for the past week, and her photos have been making me very jealous.
Well, yeah. Did you catch that in the middle of that? I Paul Schaefer'd you. You were like, big tour. And I was like, big tour. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Paul.
It's definitely in London.
There you go. It is literally a galaxy far away. Unless you're already in Europe, then it's not so far.
Those cab drivers are mean.
So, I also really enjoyed Justice League.
It's your wrong side, mate.
Justice League 41. Oh, man. Don't even get me started on the wrong side of the road driving. Justice League 41, which was the Dark Side War Part 1. It's the we talked about this last time for 40, but this is really the first issue of it. With the return of the characters that kicked off this book originally, if you recall, the team formed because Darkseid had invaded Earth, and they kicked him out, and so now he's back. And this issue, it was fun. I mean, there's still things to be annoyed about that are new 52-ish. There's a lot of Mr. Miracle in this issue. We get introduced to him for the first time. And they just went and ruined that classic Jack Kirby costume.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, it's the same thing. He's got all these extra lines and plates of armor on it.
No.
And it's just like, come on.
That's a tough one. I hadn't really considered that because I don't. Those designs are
especially the new god.
Specifically, yeah.
I like that they've made Darkseid kind of a bigger figure, mm-hmm. like he's sort of Hulk sized, and I think that works for him. I remember when I was a kid, those superpowers toys, Darkseid was sort of Hulk sized.
Mm-hmm.
He had those giant ape arms that I would like to smash down on top of people when I played mm-hmm. with them. I like that bit, but like, there's a couple of shots of close-ups of Mr. Miracle's face, and there's just these random, stupid lines on his mask for no reason. Why? I would love to have an off-the-record conversation with somebody at DC about these designs and what they've been thinking is behind them. It's just so stupid. But the story was fun, and I always like a big war involving the new gods and the Justice League, so that's fun. And in this issue, Cyborg is also being sort of recreated less of a machine, more of a man. Because if you recall, he was kind of like a giant tank person previously.
Oh, I don't think
they're
I
slimming
that.
Him back down to sort of the old style where he was a, you know, mostly man and some submachine. So this is fun. The Jason Fubuk art is growing on me. I wasn't a big fan before, but I think he's sort of coming into his own. And
he's definitely like fitting into that. Like he's developing into that Ivan Reis.
Yeah, he was more of a Finch clone. Yeah, and he's finding his own way. I mean, we talked about Aaron Cooter before, who we started off with as a quietly clone, and developed his own style very quickly.
Yep.
And Fabuk's style is getting better on me anyway. And this feels more like old Jeff Johns, you know.
I like to say Fabok.
Fabok.
Because it sounds like a Vulcan.
It probably is, because Fabuk would imply two O's.
Yeah, yeah. And being from Liverpool.
Fabok. Let's say Fabok.
He read the book.
So that was fun. I enjoyed that. Also, War Stories number 9. You didn't read this arc, did you?
No. I read all of the issues when I was in your apartment, and the next time I'm there, I'll read the other ones.
This might be the best arc of this Avatar.
I think I did. I read the first issue of it, I think, when I was at your place, and then I just forgot about
this.
This
is the story of...
Which I know is very strange coming from me, and I'm
this
sorry.
This is the story. Yeah, you just whacked poetic about Garth Ennis last week.
I know.
This was the story where the Nazis or the German soldiers were actually the heroes, which is completely unusual for most World War II stories. And it ended nicely, as nice as these things can. So the story has been that these stranded German tank soldiers rescued this German family from being treated awfully by the Russians who were making their way through Germany. And so this three-issue arc has been them sort of surviving in the woods together. And the teenage girl and the family's fallen in love with one of the German guys. And he's very resistant, not just because she's 15, but also because he's, you know, he doesn't feel great about things they've done either. And in this issue, he basically unloads on her. And, you know, the Russians aren't the only ones doing horrible things. And there's a bunch of flashbacks to them hanging people and burning them and implied rape. And, you know, he says, there's even worse things I've heard about that we've done in your name. It was one of those really sort of bring the hammer down issues. It was the wrap-up issue. And it was really well done in terms of, you know, as we said before, his character work is stellar. He made them really interesting people. It was good. You'll enjoy it.
Yeah. I just decided I'm gonna just have to buy these books at some point because I can't seem to deal with the issues. It's just all out of my workflow. That's all it is. It's a workflow issue.
I understand.
Where are you on The Wicked and the Divine, and what do you care about hearing?
I haven't read it since the second issue. I've got them all, but I just haven't.
All right.
Every time I look at the stack, I go, oh, okay.
Yeah, I know. I don't get all of them. I'm saying I don't understand all of them.
That was part of the problem. The first two issues, it felt very Phonogram 1 versus Phonogram 2. And so every time I would go to read 9 or 10 of them, I'd go,
So I really like the creators of this.
Yeah.
I really like Jamie McKelvey's art, and I want to appreciate this. But I think that part of what's happening here is that the subject matter, which is not the gods part, which I totally understand, but the pop star part, I don't understand because I'm not hooked into it at all. Very specifically, Jamie said something on Twitter about, it was a thing last week where Kanye West had gone comic book shopping in San Francisco, and a bunch of people said it, and apparently he picked up The Wicked and the Divine, but he did not buy it. And Jamie said, that's good because one of our characters is an analog to that. And I was like, I have no idea what he's talking about. I think these characters are analogs to pop stars that I don't know. Or at least don't.
Well, there was I was reading actually a summary of it somewhere, and I thought, oh, that makes more sense than what I read. Mm-hmm. So, like, there's a Florence character from the Florence and the Machine character, and there's
I'm not gonna get that.
There's a David Bowie character, and like, apparently, I don't know. I have to.
And apparently, it's all there. Anyway, so this is the week that it was also announced they're gonna do a TV show of this.
Yeah, or they're developing a TV show of it.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Good for them. That sounded sarcastic. It was not supposed to be. That was sincere. I absolutely, I'm very pleased with their success. But I'm not cool, basically. I don't get it because I'm not cool. But I'm still reading it. And what they did this week, the same week that they announced that, is that they killed off a person who is very central to the story.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in a big way. Like, oh, what are we supposed to do now?
Hmm.
When the character gets everything that they want.
Well, that's trouble.
And then is killed. Immediately.
Never get what you want in fiction.
Never get what you want in fiction. So that was an interesting choice. And I'm like, I know that beneath, if I could figure out what the symbolism is supposed to be, I would probably enjoy this a lot more. And I think this is my problem with Phonogram also. I just don't. I'm so not part of whatever this thing is that they're talking about that I don't understand.
You're not cool.
And that's okay. I'm not cool. I am Lester Bangs, not cool, but not even that cool.
You're not so uncool that you're cool. You're just not cool.
I'm not cool.
I get it.
It's fine.
So Jupiter's Circle number 3, did you read this?
Yeah.
So the first two issues was the story arc about the heroes. In the first arc, Jupiter's Legacy, they were the old heroes, and it was all about their kids. This series, we've gone back to the past to see these old heroes as young people. The first two issues was about a closeted superhero, and this issue is all about a really dissatisfied married superhero. It's just sort of like suburban ennui issue.
Yeah.
Like the hero is, he stops a big giant a robot in the Midwest somewhere. And oh, it is the Midwest. And he meets a 19-year-old grocery clerk, little blonde girl, and they have an affair, and she wants to be a hero. He brings her to the city. We find out he's married and has kids, and then he makes her a superhero. She's got a costume, and he's like, the rest of the team is embarrassed by him. And
they're not shy about it.
No. And I like the scene where he's like, so Richie's allowed to have a boyfriend, but I can't date a girl. And he's like, whoa.
Oh.
Why am I getting dragged into this? And then it ends with him choosing to be with the young girl, leaving his family, and his son is not happy about it. So I just love this as an sort of exploration of the human side.
I do too. And I'm not saying it's a thing, but like I've seen Mark Miller posting about his sick kids lately, like 3-year-old throwing up all night kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, oh, look at him. I know this. I recognize this.
I'm out of here.
Wilfredo Torres, who actually did not do the whole thing. There was some fill-in pages.
That makes sense. Oh yeah.
Yes. But at the same time, Wilfredo Torres is amazing.
Yeah, like, he's good.
I don't know where he came from, but he's great. I really, really like his work and this style, and I think that it absolutely works for the story. So, it just to me, like I'm like, it's a new artist that I hadn't heard of that I'm very like, oh,
I really
that's...
like this book.
Yep, I do too.
It's sort of the Hollywood Babylon of superheroes in that era. Like what was going on behind the capes.
Yep.
All the troubling stuff.
Now, a smart person
mm-hmm.
would go into non-player 2 and they would say, I have non-player 1 right there. I mean, and he would read it.
Mm-hmm. But you are not that man.
A smart man? but a person, another person who has a lot going on might justify to himself, you know what? I'm just going to read this second one that came out 3 years later or however many years later. And if I can't figure it out, all right, that's on me or them. We'll find out.
Who was it on?
I don't know. I do know that it didn't seem anything like what I remembered from the first issue, which was we were in this world, like a virtual reality fantasy world, and it was a game, and then I think a bunch of people were killed at the end.
I remember a motorcycle. That's all I remember from the first one.
Is a girl on a scooter. She's a delivery person.
That's all I remember.
Nothing. Whatever. So I read Non-Player 2, and everybody was blown away by Non-Player 1, and then Nate Simpson had some issues getting the second one out. He writes, draws, colors, the whole thing, does the whole deal. And then this one sort of starts... Did you read this?
No.
Okay. This one sort of starts with a siege at a big fishmonger, but there's like... There's mechs. There's VR mechs. Like, so we're in the real world, and it's like in the not terribly distant future, but technology's got a whole different sort of thing going on. And then there's people who are involved in the VR. Like, it's a whole other... thing. So it actually wasn't hard to pick up what was happening in this because mm-hmm. it was almost like a new story.
Right.
Because we met a bunch of people for the first time. And I was trying really hard, though, to remember, this is going to sound worse than it is, what it was everybody liked about the first one.
I don't see the reason why I didn't read this one is because I remember reading the first one. I remember enjoying it.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that's it. That's all I remember. I remember right. the theoretical construct that is Non-Player 1.
Yeah.
I don't remember anything about it. And I thought, you know what? I can't because I don't know when 3 is coming out. And I don't,
yeah.
you know.
I just went in. It was almost a thought experiment.
Yeah, I get it.
I want to see what's happening. And that definitely, like, he's built a really interesting world here.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that I know the characters well enough to say that there's some interesting characters, but there's definitely some seeds that were planted that are very strong. It is definitely one of those show-don't-tell things where, like, mm-hmm. he's got a world, you're in it, it's moving along, and you're going to have to figure out how it works.
Which I like, which is good. But
And it's I mean, I had a lot of time to think about it. So it's definitely a well-conceived world. And if you like these kinds of ideas, the VR and big robots and the future and blah, 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 but with sort of people who are just normal humans, then you'll dig this. I think that there's a lot more to reveal before I know exactly what it is, though.
Okay. Well, there you go.
There you go. That's all the comics for the week. And if you like what we do here, you can go to ifanboy.com/Amazon when you have to place an order with the Mega E-Tail Giant. And if you do so, then a portion of your purchase goes to us. And so you don't have to do a dang old thing to help out the show a little indirectly. If you like what we do here, you can also go to ifanboy.com/registration if you want to make a straight up donation to the show, either a regular payment of $3 a month or $30 a year or anything that you choose to. If you want to throw a little something in the kitty. It wasn't supposed to sound dirty, and it was correct. But when I said it, it felt bad.
Yeah, you had an inflection there.
I think that Airboy has really messed me up.
It was like, whoa!
It was a big dong.
Both of them.
Oh, yeah. Anyway.
I like to see the notes on that. Can I?
Can you amp up mine? He's like, okay, I will, and then he amped his own up.
I'm not saying it's wrong. I don't know.
I don't know.
Have any first-hand or second-hand knowledge. I'm just saying, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's a heightened reality.
Anyway, so that's how you can help out the show. And, of course, we very much appreciate those of you who are here. We still hear from people who are like, I just signed up, and that's like the greatest. Because that's like a tangible way that you're saying, I really like what you guys are doing. And so we thank the people for that, and that's how you can do something too. Carry on.
Let's do a couple emails. Jason from the island of Dr. Moreau says, I'm just getting back to collecting comic books. I stopped in the mid-90s. Now I know the 90s has kind of a bad rap, but I loved everything I collected, and I'd go every week religiously. I'm a huge fan of the 90s X-Men, and just about every Image title that came out during that time, Brigade, Bloodstrike, and Stormwatch top my list. I've been following the advice of my local comic guy, who ironically is the same guy from the 90s. He told me to get Secret Wars and then pick up a few of the ensuing number ones. I've done that, and I've been kind of excited about it, but a bit confused as well, which I expected. Even though I do like them, I'm really missing those Image-type books. I always thought the writing was a bit more mature, the art was better, and the characters were more complex. Maybe that was just me as a 14-year-old, or not. Any suggestions for current comics from a publisher that would take me back to that feeling? It was definitely you as a 14-year-old.
I don't know.
Well, the thing is, like, I was around his age, probably maybe even exactly that age when those books were coming out, and I thought they were awesome, too. But I've read a couple of them as an adult, and they're not well written.
I didn't like them then, and I don't really like them now. So when I say I don't know, I'm not even being facetious. Yeah. Like, I wasn't reading then. So if you like, Stormwatch, I can sort of grab onto that a little bit. I don't know, though.
Brigade and Bloodstrike are deep cuts. That's like the third generation of those Image.
Yeah.
Books. And the thing was, none of those books are known for their writing.
Mm-hmm.
If you want a real life example of it, you go pick up Savage Dragon. It's being done exactly the same way it was done in the 90s.
Well, that was the thing, is that he said he was a huge fan of it, and I'm trying to distill down what it is that he was a huge fan of.
Well, because at that time, the difference was stark. It was, you know, more violent and bloody, a little more sexual. And these are things that you didn't get in Marvel and DC books. So as a teenager, you were like, this is the greatest thing ever.
Right.
That's how my feeling was too. But all that stuff either translated over to Marvel and DC because they saw the success of it. So you've got comics now from Marvel and DC that are more violent, more bloody, and sometimes more sexual. That all just moved over to the other books, the storytelling style. But you just got better writing.
The other thing that happened is that the people who did those books...
Went back.
No. They're still making books.
That's what I mean. They went back to Marvel and DC.
I know, but also like they also kind of grew up... Because the people reading those books are the same people, so the stories tend to be more geared towards older people instead of those 14-year-olds.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to get... Like, I don't know of comics that have that sort of tone that aren't ironic, really. And the ones that do don't succeed, so they don't stick around.
All of DC's reboot was to try to recapture that feeling, and it didn't go all that well. But... I remember as a kid loving Spawn, mm-hmm. especially the first year or so of it. And so a few years ago, Image put out some collections of Spawn, mm-hmm. and I got them. and tried to reread the first one, and it was almost impossible to read.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just walls and walls of text. And
so do you think, to psychoanalyze a little bit, do you think he just misses that feeling?
Sure. You're never going to get that feeling back from when you were 14 years old and reading those comics.
I mean, to me, it's a little like if I go and I listen to the first Pearl Jam album, I don't love it like I used to.
You can't. You don't feel things as intensely as you did when your hormones were going crazy in your body.
And also, like, I, in that time, have developed different tastes, for one thing, but also different critical, like, I see things that I didn't see before, so it was easier to impress me.
Well, you were an adult as opposed to a...
But there you go. Yeah, I mean, yeah, you know.
You're never going to feel as intensely about almost anything as an adult that you did when you were...
I don't know, pornography. Sorry.
No, actually, I would say completely the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
If you were exposed
to... Do we want
to
talk about this?
No. But you're not going to capture that feeling. And then most of the comics the style was co-opted by the other companies for the most part.
And adapted. I mean, the best I could tell you would be, you know, if you really liked Spawn, like maybe read Batman because Greg Capullo is sort of his antecedent.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you, Jim Lee's still drawing books. If you liked that kind of stuff, there's been a bunch of... That Wildstorm stuff has percolated into the last sort of bunch of DC stuff, but it didn't ever last very long, and I didn't hear anything about it.
No.
Or if I read it, I didn't read it for very long, so it's hard to say specifically what.
It's tough.
Yeah.
You can't go home again. I think that's a lot of what drives the comics industry is people trying to go home again, and you can't.
Yeah.
Maybe every once in a while you might touch it briefly for a second.
And that's fun. That can be actually really good and rewarding. But I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe go back and read... here's the thing. Go back and check out some of the Alan Moore stuff, like the Alan Moore Wildcats or the James Robinson Wildcats that sort of came out of that. And those were done a little better. So you're still sort of back then, but they're pretty good stories. But the art is sort of that time, but also pretty good. That's
Supreme,
pretty
too.
Objectively good. Supreme. Joe Casey's Wildcats is another one.
It has been a while since you have recommended that book.
Yeah, but it sort of straddles those worlds. So if you remember that stuff and you liked those characters, there's a lot of material there that you can sort of get into. It's not really current because I can't think of anything current because it wouldn't sell, basically. Yeah.
But if you're looking for the sort of extreme, which is what Brigade, Bloodstrike, and Stormwatch were, you're going to have a hard time finding that.
Yeah.
You know, that's just not the way things are done anymore.
Yeah. All right. Shafi from Jersey in the Channel Islands, California. That's a long place name. In the past year, I have a sudden revitalized interest in comic books. I used to be obsessed with them from the age of 9 until around 13. Now I'm 32, and that interest has peaked again. I am married, and we just had our first child last year. So you're looking at the past. I understand. As a lot of new families, we're trying to make as much savings as we can, but at the same time, I still would like to sate my appetite for these stories that I want to follow. I have 3 or 4 series that I'd want to buy regularly. Southern Bastards, The Fade Out, Ms. Marvel, etc. What would you recommend be the most economic way to collect these issues? Should I wait for the issues to be collected in the volume or in the trades to be released? Is there somewhere I can find a cheaper deal if I subscribe to the series? What you want to do is you want to go back in time. You want to start a comic book podcast and work at it for like
a comic book website,
12 or 13 years. And then eventually they'll just give them to you.
Well, the Marvel stuff, the cheapest way I think is to become a Marvel Unlimited subscriber, right?
And
then
you get all
of the Marvel books. You just have to wait 6 months.
A 6 month delay. And you will have no shortage of other material to read during that time.
That's like the best deal in comics.
Yeah. I mean, other than that, I think the trades are the best deal. When it comes to the Image series.
Especially the first trades, I think they're like $9 for those first volumes. So for those,
and then after that, they go up a bit. But it's a better deal, and you can probably find them at a discount. That's going to be your most economic way to do that, I think. Because there's no economic advantage to digital currently still.
Well, the Marvel Unlimited Digital is the only...
Right.
That's where you... If you don't know what that is, Shafi, it's the sort of Netflix-style... service from Marvel in which you subscribe monthly, but you get access to everything they've got digitized, and the new books come out, they just come out on a delay, and you'll eventually get to read all of them. You'll just be behind the times, which doesn't really matter. Yeah. You can always go back and listen to the show. That's okay.
Previously named the Marvel DCU,
yeah.
which Who are the ad wizards who came up with that one?
Who? So that's probably the best deal for your Miss Marvel books or any other Marvel books you're hearing about. I mean, they're about to relaunch everything in a few months, and that might be a good place to jump on if you're coming back to comics, if you're into Marvel characters. But for the Image stuff, I would also go the trade route and look for your discount retailers, your in-stock trades, or your Amazons for that sort of thing, if you're looking for the most economic way.
Yeah, that's probably the best thing. But I think you're being realistic about it.
Babies got to eat.
Babies, they just do. They won't. And if they don't, they get even louder. So, and also they'll arrest you. So you should definitely feed kid before comics. I don't think anybody's going to fault you for that. You can email us at contact@ifanboy.com or leave a voicemail at 888-FANBOYS, which is 326-2697. Tell us who you are and where you're from and keep it to around 30 seconds. We haven't played a voicemail in a little while. I'm going to go ahead and cop to that.
We've got a couple of long ones that were too long.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people call in and make comments on what we say.
Yeah.
Which isn't really going to get played on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Which is totally fine. I mean, you can do that. Well, we listen to it, but you're not going to play, you know, your reaction to something we said in the show.
No. Because we don't remember.
Well, it's just couch it as a question, a discussion question, then we play it. But if it's just, you know, you guys are wrong about this or you're right about this thing, that's nice to hear, but I'm not going to play that on the show.
It is not compelling content for the show, you mean?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
What do we know?
So you can do those things to get as part of the show. We always enjoy the audience questions. And in the meantime, head over to ifanboy.com to comment on this show, talk about this week's books, and find all our other podcasts. Follow us at facebook.com/ifanboy and at ifanboy on Twitter. And you can follow us individually at J.A. Flanagan, at C.S. Kilpatrick.
If you haven't rated the show in iTunes, what the hell is wrong with you?
True.
I'm just saying, we've been asking for like 10 years. You haven't done it yet? What's that about? word of mouth, sharing the shows on social media, things like that. All that stuff is really helpful and we appreciate it. Or we see people all the time in our Twitter feed, you know, recommend iFanboy to people looking for a good comic book podcast, and we always love that. So thank you very much. Please keep that up. That's all. Thank you for listening. Thank you for showing up, Connor.
Well, last week went so well that I just figured I can probably take every other week off now, right?
It's fine.
I'll be off next week.
I'm not unvain enough to be like,
I could do that. I'm just saying, a lot less work on my part.
It is almost entirely less. It's totally less work for you. That's true.
I enjoyed it, though. It was fun to listen to.
Okay, good. Thank you.
So
did I say anything? I blacked out. I don't know what happened.
Well, I mean, there was a little bit of racism, but that's just to be expected.
So we're looking at your job application here, Mr. Flanagan, and I'll be honest, we Googled you, and a lot of disturbing stuff about eugenics came up.
Well, you know, it's just worth exploring. I'm just saying, let's just have the discussion.
Wait, come here, let me see your head ridge, sir.
I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying, let's have the conversation.
It would be risky not to.
So, I'll
head
back.
Rich.
I'm back. I'm not planning on going anywhere for a while.
I'm out of here.
All right. Until next week, I'm Connor.
I'm Josh. Thanks very much.
We both go down together. I found you a tattoo to write on, a dirty daughter from the labor camps. I laid you down in the grass of a clearing. You wept, but your soul.